Welcome back to the Chasing Common Ground podcast. My name is Chris. You probably know that already. And for a lot of these episodes, I will just kind of do a impromptu intro to kind of set the tone for what's about to go down. Because what I have been doing is sort of a pattern of alternating between my walking and talking podcasts, which are actually filmed in their entirety, where you would be able to see them if you're a Substack subscriber or if you tune in on YouTube. Most of my episodes are published there as well. And you get to see the scenery that we're encountering, some of the cameos that happen. Generally, I'll try and not have any identifiable cameos in these episodes. So I'm talking about, like, if we're walking and we come across other people on the path, I'm not going to reveal their identity or anything. But, you know, every so often we see some unusual things. So it's definitely worth checking out the video version. And if you happen to stumble across this podcast because of the snippets on Instagram, that's great. That is kind of, that's the hook. That's what we're trying to do here at the Chasing Common Ground podcast. Now, if you have known me for a while, if you followed the podcast for a while, if you've found this via an old episode, it used to be called the Lifestyle Chase podcast. And I've addressed this before. One of the reasons that I kind of changed the name was just to kind of like broaden the amount of conversations that I could have. And I felt by changing it to Chasing Common Ground, it allows me to have conversations that go beyond fitness, that can go and dig into the nuances of different topics, that can encourage people to find more reasons to get along with each other than to disagree with each other, because I think that is lost with a lot of people, and I think there's a lot of benefits in being better at connecting than at arguing. So to kind of set the tone for this episode, this is actually a returning guest that I brought on. Her name is Erica Anderson. She was last on the show. I'm just looking at my notes here. She was last on the show in February 2022, if I'm not mistaken. And this was during a time when I actually did a client series. So Erica used to ride my 6 a.m. spin classes. So I would have, I think I had like 8 hardcore, amazing, incredible human beings who made the conscious decision to wake up at probably 5 a.m. or 4:30 a.m. to attend my overhyped 6 a.m. spin class at a studio called True Ride that was based out of a World Health before they turned into Gym Movement or whatever. And I was very passionate about instructing spin. It was something that I wanted to do for a very long time. And I got the opportunity to do that, and I really had to hype up my class to get people to come. And she was one of the supporters. And not only that, but she actually came to train with me at the first gym I was at. It was called L2 Fitness before they shut down about 8 months later. And then I went into my journey as a self-employed trainer, where I moved to a facility called Raising the Bar Training and Performance. I have nothing but good things to say about those guys. They were a great place to start the journey of being a self-employed contractor, trainer. There's lots of just easygoing vibes. And then 4 months after that, I eventually moved to Evolve Strength, which is about 10 minutes away from that location. And Erica followed me along for each of these locations. So I just have to say, that's huge. It's incredible to have someone who is that invested in your skill set as like a trainer, coach. So my hopes are that in that time, I imparted some valuable knowledge and experiences for her in her life. And we got to catch up. We got to catch up about life. And this time it didn't have to be about fitness. We could talk about romance novels. She's into romance novels. She likes to talk about Elvis. I was a bit cruel and had her walk up a bunch of stairs, and the podcast took a little bit of a lull for a moment as we caught our breath. But I think this is going to be a good episode. If you like this format, this sort of more casual approach to the podcast and my genuine realness that I try to bring to the show, definitely connect with me. Find me at Christian Little, LIDDLE on Instagram. Or you can go to invigoratetraining.com. I also own the domain name for christianlittle.com. So there'll be something there soon enough. Or Google. Google whatever you want to Google. See what comes up. Hopefully it relates to the podcast and it's not just some side quest you're going on. But without any further rambling, because I'm pretty good at that, after you've given this show a 5-star review, subscribed on YouTube, subscribe on podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts and Spotify, once that's done, I will give you permission to tune in to this episode, which will start right now.
And we are good to go. So, welcome back to the podcast. I have a return guest, Erica. How are you doing
today? I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me again.
I'm good. Thank you for the coffee. Little funny backstory. We thought we were going to start this at 10 a.m., but then we changed our minds and started it at 12. And it worked out.
It did work out, thankfully, perfectly.
Well, and the cool thing is that, like, to add some context, when we first, like, started working together as, like, trainer-client, we both, ironically, drove across the city for you to receive training and me to deliver training.
Yes.
And I think that one session where I accidentally slept in, that's the only time in my entire training career that I've ever done that.
You know, it happens once and it never happens again.
Pretty much. So let's bring the audience up to speed with where you're at in life now, in contrast with where you were last time they would have heard it.
Oh, I feel like life has changed enough, but I still have similar routines, similar lifestyle. Last time I think I was on the podcast, I was still a student. And so now I've graduated, I got my big government girl job, I'm moving out, and I feel like in my kind of lifestyle health journey, if one can call it a journey, I've come to a really good balanced part in my life where I know where I'm headed and I feel like I have the tools and the steps to get there.
Sweet. So kind of like a sense of autonomy and independence in a way?
Yeah, absolutely. I think autonomy is the perfect way to do it, or perfect way to put it.
Well, like that's sort of like the goal of most like trainers and stuff is instilling that sense of independence, not having people feel reliant on them for like the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
But also sort of like adding in that layer of like support. So it's not like when you stop working with a trainer that you just lost.
Yeah.
But that there is still a solid connection. But one of the things that I prefaced this with is I asked you to think about some books that have been transformative in your life or had you see things from a different point of view. Maybe it was a wild story or something fictional that just kind of like blew your mind.
Yeah.
So let's dive into that.
Okay, so I have two answers. One of them is a nonfiction answer and one of them is a fiction answer. So in the nonfiction aspect, I haven't fully read it, but Atomic Habits.
Ooh.
I feel like a lot of people talk about this book. I feel like it has been raved about. I haven't finished it.
You're going to get the fitness community so excited about Atomic Habits. Let's go.
The one thing that really stuck out to me was Compounding Habits and the 1% Better.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're not trying at 100%, as long as you show up for yourself and you're trying to make the effort to make the change, that still counts. And I feel like for a really long time, I was hard on myself of being like, if you don't show up for these 5 days and you have to do this and do that X amount of days, I was really upset and felt really defeated.
Yeah.
But now with that in mind, as long as I'm trying and I'm trying to make that change and doing a little bit every day, I feel accomplished. And it's helped me kind of put my life together in a point where I feel like I'm still moving forward at a pace that works for me.
That's awesome. So I want to know, what's an example that you've applied it in the last like 8 months or so?
I would say I've tried really hard with my nutrition, which I think is something that a lot of people struggle with, in the sense that I'm intentional when I grocery shop to make meals that I know I'm gonna like. And knowing that I don't try to eat out every day. I don't go for coffee every day. It just helps me know, okay, well, what I'm putting in my body is still good. Even if tomorrow night I go and I have pizza and beer with my friends.
Yeah.
That's still an effort that I'm putting in to make myself better every day.
Nice. Yeah. So when it comes to non-fitness, non-nutrition, when we're thinking about life in the other realms, mm-hmm. how does it apply to that aspect of life?
I would say my own inner peace and kind of how I interact with the world and other people. So this kind of ties into actually my fiction book as well.
Perfect.
Of your relationship with others and how others perceive you. So 1% better of making the right choices for me. In, you know, we're, for an example, one of my coworkers, we're friends, but choices I don't necessarily align with.
Yeah.
I need to make the best decision for myself in that.
Yeah.
And knowing that I'm doing the best for me counts. And that's all that matters.
I like that. How do you discern that line where you decide, like, what is the best for you, where you need to go in a different direction?
I feel like it depends on the situation, but it kind of feels like, would I do that, or would I be okay if my sister did that? That's kind of like the line of, I guess, morally, how I would feel about it if I did the same thing.
So with that said, and I know that you're close with your sister, mm-hmm. but you kind of use your point of view of how you would feel if your sister did something to kind of reflect on how you would feel if you did something, kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. So what would be one thing that you would be very proud to see yourself do within the year 2024?
Ooh, that's a big one. I feel like I'm working on being happy with where I'm at in my life. And so for 2024, being okay with the everyday changes that happen and knowing that I'm not going to have everything and being okay with that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that necessarily answers your question.
Well, it kind of does.
But I think content is where I would like to see myself. And not necessarily feeling stagnant, but being content with the progress, with the things that I'm doing.
Well, and also the fact that you illuminated Atomic Habits and talked about that whole, like, compound effect of improvement, that shows that you're positioning yourself to not be stagnant, which is a huge thing for a lot of people. People don't like to feel stuck. Mm-hmm. They don't want to feel like they're doing the same thing day in and day out. But they also need a sense of purpose.
Yes.
So what is it in your life right now that gives you a sense of purpose?
My friends and family.
Nice.
I have friends who live a little bit all over the place. I have a friend who lives in the US, some friends who live in Ontario, and being able to go and see them or take trips with them. My sister had a baby, so I'm an aunt, and so being able to spend time with them,
yeah,
and fulfilling that role makes me feel accomplished.
That's huge. Just like having like community roles, whether it's that you're a friend to somebody or a mentor or role model to somebody, those are very important for life because it acts as like a North Star that guides a lot of our decisions, that keeps us on track and everything.
Yeah, and I feel like those relationships are always ever changing as well. So even though they might be the same people, your relationship is evolving and the things that you do together are always changing.
Yeah. So you talked about nonfiction books. Let's dive into some of those. Let's unpack that.
Okay, so as a big romance reader, a lot of it comes down to never giving up on something that you want.
Yeah.
And being assertive with it. Of, you know, this option A is not going to benefit me in the long run, but it's a safe option. We're not going to pick the safe option. It's not an option. yeah. in my story.
Yeah.
You just have to keep going. And the nonfiction book that I had in mind was this whodunit murder mystery where the narrators were all people from the dead guy's life who had all had different images of him in their minds and had different versions of him present in their life. And so picking who you want to align yourself with and kind of the version that you portray to the world, having it be like the authentic version of you instead of having multiple different ones that I go out with this person, this is who I am today. So
that yeah. we need to dive deeper into that because some people might have missed what you were basically talking about, but I resonated with it. So how do you discover and maintain that authentic version of you when you are finding yourselves, when you're finding yourself, I should say, connecting with a variety of different people?
You don't have to please everybody.
Yeah.
You don't have to be everybody's best friend, everybody's confidant. You can choose for yourself if that's not how you're feeling or what you want. There's no problem with that. And if the other people have an issue with that, that's on their own terms. That has nothing to do with you. It's about choosing the best option, but just who you want to present yourself as.
So can you think of a time when you felt that you hadn't quite had that revelation in your life?
Well, I would definitely say at work. So being in a supervisory role with people who have been in a job for 15 plus years can be really difficult.
Yeah.
Considering I've only been there for 2.
Yeah.
And so understanding that the way that they view their work ethic and their tasks is different from yours, and I don't have to be their friend. I can make the choices that are benefiting the company and my own job
yeah.
before their own.
Yeah. That's deep.
You know, this would have been very deep at 10 a.m. too.
That's funny. I have noticed that you've done a lot of traveling lately.
I have.
So what has been like a favorite trip of yours over the last like couple of years or so?
Ooh. I don't know if I would necessarily call it a transformative trip, but I went to Stagecoach last year at the end of April, which is kind of like the country Coachella. It's a giant festival in Palm Springs for country music. And it was the first time that I had gone to any type of event like this. And I had such an amazing time where it was just like a weekend of doing whatever you want, enjoying music that you like, being surrounded with people who feel the same way.
Yeah.
Who are also there for the music. They're shouting out the lyrics. They're crying at the same songs. And it just feels like a big community. And I traveled with a really good friend of mine, and we bonded and we got really close, and it just felt like I could go home almost like rejuvenated with friendship and love and music and the sun. It was very hot. It was beautiful.
Yeah, having sunlight makes a big difference.
Yes.
Right now it's very overcast, a little bit chilly.
Yes.
And it has an impact on like the tone of the day and just how we feel by default.
I mean, considering that I even asked you, hey, if it's cold and cloudy, like, are we still going walking?
I was like, yeah, we're going walking.
Yeah, as a summer summer soul, it's not my favorite time of year, but it's beautiful.
Well, and I think by setting it up this way, it kind of encourages other people to be consistent with their habits.
Yeah.
And stay on track, regardless of, kind of like, the factors that are out of their control.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of people are quick to make excuses. They're quick to self-sabotage. But they're also quick to be like, I want to do this, this, and that. But they're not taking any actions that align with it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's all talk about what they want to accomplish in life or like what their big goal would be, but they're hesitant to take those tiny steps that add up with time, that if you're consistent with those little habits, that it would turn into something one day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you came back from this trip to this country music kind of festival, mm-hmm. what was something that changed in your day-to-day thought process or your day-to-day routine or just your life in general?
I would say that I had more of a... ethereal isn't the word that I am looking for, but it kind of stems along the same lines. A different outlook on the world as a whole. Like, it was a lot more positive and radiant, and like I could just feel happier being in my own bubble again.
Yeah.
Having had such a great experience elsewhere. And I feel like I work in a very stressful, tough environment. And being able to kind of lock in on some like happy experiences that I have had just kind of help you propel through the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. It's like we almost have to reignite happy moments to be able to find the moments that are happy within our day-to-day life. Like, I find every time I go on a trip somewhere, mm-hmm. or, like, even if I try something new locally, then it makes me appreciate the mundane things I may have taken for granted.
Absolutely. That's exactly it. You can just appreciate everything a little bit more.
Yeah. So, where are some places that you want to travel in the future?
Ooh. I definitely have... Asia on my list, whether it's Thailand, Vietnam, Japan. I've never gone that far across the world.
Yeah.
So that would definitely be on my list. And I feel like everybody has to do a New Zealand, Australia trip at some point.
It seems like the stereotypical thing to do.
Yeah, especially as a Canadian. I feel like everybody does it at least once in their life.
Yeah.
So those would be like the two top travel places, but I do a bunch of little trips like California or Vancouver every now and again, so I feel like those little trips still make an impact.
Makes sense. I think we'll go this way. Just trying to avoid all the big crowds of people.
Yeah, I'm trying to actually think of where we are, and I had found myself on the trails, and now I'm just vibing.
For me, like, when I do these long-ass walks, basically, I go as far as I can in one direction, and then just reverse, and then go back. So, one of the things that popped into my head as you were talking about your self-awareness, and your life experiences, and the progressions that you've made, is that a lot of people that I've been talking to over the last, like, 6 months are all diving down deep rabbit holes, either of, like, things that they're especially interested in learning about, or things that they want to do with their life one day, whether it be that they're binge-watching YouTube videos, or maybe there's somebody, some person in their field of interest that they want to be more like. Is any of that relatable for you? Do you have any rabbit holes that you've been diving into over the last little while?
Ooh, I don't necessarily know if I've done anything to that extent. I don't know. I feel like I don't really get deep dive interests in stuff to the point where I need to know everything about a certain topic.
Yeah.
No.
I wonder if this is like a public road.
It is.
Or like so cars go on this.
They do.
So maybe we don't go on this. Let's turn around.
We'll try
the stairs.
Is actually just up here.
Nice.
Yeah. I can't believe this is where we ended up.
We'll go up the stairs and then we'll go down the stairs and we'll go back that way.
I thought this wasn't a workout.
It's totally a workout.
I have amazing and horrible memories of these stairs.
It's just funny because it's like I'm low-key getting people in my network to go on these long walks with me to both promote like personal growth, connection, and fitness. And it's like
all encompassing.
Such a multi-purpose activity.
It really is.
So you should tell the audience more about your obsession with Elvis.
Oh,
because yes. I don't think you talk about it enough.
Oh, no, because I try not to overwhelm people with my love for Elvis.
Well, introduce us to the origins and what keeps that passion strong.
Well, my dad used to be a radio jockey, and so he would play a lot of old school music like Elvis. And this really is a workout.
This is amazing. I applaud you.
I'm trying to concentrate on my thoughts.
Yeah.
But I can't.
I think everybody listening and watching will understand.
I forget that there's a watching aspect to this.
Yeah. I'll be like, that Chris is a total asshole. We made it.
We did.
We'll wander this way for recovery.
Yeah.
So, your dad was a radio DJ?
Yes. And my mom had always grown up loving Elvis, but my grandma was not a fan.
Oh.
And so we were introduced to it really early on because both of my parents really enjoyed the music. And, wow. Loving music, thoughts, processes. My sister, who's 4.5 years older than me, really kind of took hold to that.
Yeah.
She's always really loved Elvis since day one. And me, being the younger sister, I wanted to be just like her.
Okay.
And so it kind of took on a life of its own for me, of following her to Elvis shows and doing all of this Elvis-related activities, puzzles, records, anything we could get our hands on.
That's cool. Like, what I enjoy is, like, all the Elvis-related, like, connections, conventions, friendships. It seems like you've formed, like, a pretty cool Elvis-themed community.
Yes, and I feel like that's the thing that people don't realize. It's such a large community. And Elvis, I mean, with the resurgence of the Elvis movie and Agent Elvis on Netflix.
Yeah.
There's like a whole new wave of people who are loving him. But there have been tons and tons of festivals. People who literally spend their life singing like Elvis and playing shows for people who love Elvis.
And like people himself. Who probably like identify with being a fan of Elvis, like that's just who they are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's they're cool. Labeled as tribute artists.
Nice.
And that's what they do. They just pay homage, in a sense, to this man who was a musical genius.
Nice.
He didn't write a single song, but he could form all of the back tones and the beat and just arrange something so beautiful that I love.
What stands out to you the most about Elvis's music?
I would say relatability.
Yeah.
He really did a bunch of songs that are relatable to people who are more religious. He did a lot of gospel, or for people who just enjoy the happy-go-lucky tunes.
Yeah.
And there's something for everybody within his discography, for sure.
I like that. What is one of his songs that resonates with you or that has gotten you through a tough time?
I would say Bridge Over Troubled Water, which is a cover that Elvis did.
Yeah.
There's a line in the song that's like, "Sail on, silver girl, your time has come to shine."
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's more motivational for me, of being like, this is your moment to really do it all.
I like that.
And to get there.
Yeah.
And that's how I want to live my life.
Well, that's cool because I recently went to a fitness summit in Las Vegas.
How was that?
It was good. Yeah? It was good. Because I got to reconnect with a lot of my internet friends. Mm-hmm. And I got to make more internet friends. And, like, why I can relate to Elvis, like, your basically passion for Elvis, is because my passion for my internet fitness friends
yeah.
is very much the same. Like, we're a very specific type of person.
Yeah.
With, like, a lack of work-life balance. And, like, an obsession for bettering ourselves.
Yeah.
And sometimes our imperfections show up. But through creating connections with like-minded people, it gives us that sense of connection, community. It helps to battle those feelings of isolation and insecurity that everybody gets.
Yeah.
So it's super, super powerful.
Groups of people like that, I feel like, add to you being able to refresh and be able to appreciate what you have when you get all together and you're able to just live in that moment.
Well, and it positions you to actually make progress. So, like, one of the presentations that stood out for me was basically it kind of emphasized the fact that, like, you either take action for your goals or you watch them fade away.
Yeah.
Like, that's a massive paraphrase of what the actual presentation was.
Yeah.
But the messaging is basically along those lines. So it's just like, it's a great reminder that if people aren't traveling, if they're not making these plans, if they're not, mm-hmm. like, you are changing your environment to allow for more independence, more probably exciting moments in life.
And I feel like you get to discover so much about yourself too.
Yeah.
Of just how you react in certain situations in a new environment.
Yeah. I think when we get to the end of the sidewalk here, then we'll just spin around and go back.
Yeah, that works.
At least back towards the stairs. Good old stairs.
Good old stairs.
Stairs are the best.
I'm going to learn to love them with the new stairs.
Yes.
That's one of my goals.
All right, and spin around.
Oh, we're going to cross the street.
No. Works. No, just full on U-turn. Keeping you on your toes.
There you go. I guess that's a goal that I have, to just, like you said, push myself for those goals and actually do them.
Yeah.
I'm going to have everything at my fingertips to be able to do it. So it would be stupid for me not to.
Well, and the limiting factor for a lot of people, and add context, like, I find myself in any given week, I'm on half of my video calls are with other coaches, and then half of them are with general population trying to stay on track with their fitness and nutrition. So I get to see all levels of experience, kind of either relentlessly on the pursuit of something and coming across obstacles.
Yeah.
Or not relentlessly on the pursuit of something and coming across excuses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of the common ways to overcome this stuff is A, scheduling it in your own calendar. Like, taking yourself seriously. Like, just if you, mm-hmm. even if you're doing a goal that just relies on you doing the thing.
Yeah.
You should schedule it in the same way that you would if somebody else was helping you.
Yeah.
So for me to go to jiu-jitsu, I schedule like 2 hours where nobody can book my time.
Mm-hmm.
And then that helps me go. And yeah. sometimes I'll tell a few teammates, I'll be like, hey, if I don't go, make sure you hold me accountable. And like, most of them are capable of killing me. So that helps.
That's a large window of opportunity and accountability.
It's very motivational.
Yeah.
But, oh, my coffee is dribbling. That's pretty neat.
Oh. Adds to the design of the cup.
Yes. But, so it's like that, and also monitoring performance.
It's a funky little camera.
It's pretty neat. So, back to what I was saying. So, monitoring performance in the realm of, like, let's say you're trying to stay on track with workouts,
mm-hmm.
and performance would be like, how many times did you simply show up?
Yeah.
Like, some people might get into the weeds of, like, how did they do their lat pull on Monday, but they won't look at it as, were they even in the facility 3 to 5 days a week?
Yeah.
Like, it's not that one thing you did one time, but it's the 80% of what you do
over a long period of time. It's the compounding effect.
Exactly. That's why I thought it was so funny that you actually highlighted Atomic Habits. I was like, you have no idea how many people in the fitness industry are going to be, oh, I love that book. I love that book.
And that's what I keep hearing. So I was like, I love that portion of it. So I got to talk about it.
You knew the audience.
I can't
So prepare. With that said, are there any other books that you haven't mentioned yet that you were thinking about as you were preparing for this long ass walk?
Those were pretty much the two that came to mind, because to be honest, I read a lot of just fluffy romance, maybe a thriller here and there, but reading is my escape from the struggles of my daily life and my job, where I just kind of get to close out, live in another universe for a couple hours at a time, and just shut everything down.
So with that said, there's bound to be books that you're hesitant to share with the audience, but I think that's where we'll probably get the most engagement from the audience itself, because people are tired of like hearing the same old stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there are thousands of podcasts that talk about the same like motivational stuff,
yeah.
The same like, oh man, like you gotta overcome all these haters that you have and all these people that are telling you can't do it. And it's like, who are the haters?
Yeah, that's why I struggle reading fiction, or sorry, nonfiction, because everybody's trying to have an opinion on something and everything is an influence for yourself. And then you kind of forget that your opinion also matters and you don't have to agree with any one of the opinions that you're reading in these books.
Well, and it becomes such a level of noise.
Mm-hmm.
That it almost mutes itself out.
Yeah.
So if you, in an audience that you felt would love all the things that you shared with them, what would be the top two fictional books that you would share?
Ooh, one of my top rated books forever and ever, Song of Achilles. It is the retold story of the Greek hero Achilles.
Yeah.
But it's twisted into a very dramatic love story. And it grapples at how great Achilles was and all the effort he put in to then be absolutely destroyed and heartbroken. And it just, I don't know, it hits all of the feels. It's a great book. I will always recommend it. I bawled like a baby at the end of it. And it hits all the points that a book should.
What did it teach you about life?
To treasure it and to go after what you want. Like, there's a large portion of the book where, as the reader, you want to scream at them and tell them to just go for it and say what you feel and do all of these things. And so I feel like you can apply that to your own life.
That makes sense. Well, and it's just like, when people get better at communicating, it helps them with their personal life. It helps them with their professional life. Like, even when you need to tell people, like, you don't understand what they're trying to tell you, or you don't understand how to support them better. Like, those things can be earth-shattering for just, like, making positive change.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a hurdle.
Sometimes people are stuck because they don't know how to ask for support.
Yeah.
Or sometimes there's miscommunication because somebody's communication style is kind of broken. Like, maybe they don't know how to explain what's happening, or they don't know how to explain how they learn best.
Mm-hmm.
So what's another book that's come to mind?
I mean, I know that for most people listening, this is not going to be your key, but I'm currently reading a Canadian, Alberta-based cowboy romance series.
The funny thing is, my mom will be all over this stuff. She will probably listen to my podcast for the first time because of these book recommendations. So tell us more.
The author's name is Elsie Silver, and she has two full series out, and she's working on the third one. The first book of the third series comes out, I think, next week or something like that. And it basically follows two ranch communities, and it follows one person on the ranch in every book. And it's kind of like their story at finding love and their struggles in life. And I love it. I want to read about two people who have like a chance meeting and then see each other 2 years later and the sparks fly and everything is lovely. But a lot of these books aren't always happy endings, and I like that because life isn't always a happy
life
ending.
Be like that sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it makes you feel like you're living on a ranch. Hand me a horse and I'm good to go.
That's funny. I think we go this way.
This is where we popped out of.
Yeah, because otherwise we'll get horribly lost. So, what is a third book?
I'm on Goodreads, if anybody goes on Goodreads. I have all of my books there.
Nice. How can they find you?
I believe you can just look up Erica Anderson.
Perfect.
On Goodreads. I don't know. What else? I have a bunch of books on like my to-be-read that I just haven't gotten to yet. There's so many books out there.
How do you find your next book?
I'm on Book Talk. So it's a TikTok community of books. And
that's awesome.
There's a hilarious connotation to Book Talk where it's mainly romance books that are recommended, some thrillers, but the Book Talk community is very much into thirst traps and making fan edits of the books that you've read.
Yeah.
Hockey books. There's a whole genre of hockey romance. The playoffs are coming up.
Wow.
I went through the playoffs a couple years ago where I just read all these hockey books. It was life-changing. I have a profound love for hockey.
Are there hockey books that are based on like the Edmonton Oilers?
No, unfortunately.
Who are like the spotlighted players?
Well, see, because it's fiction, they don't name any legitimate players, but
can you recognize sort of like the persona of any players, or do they just make it so distant that you would never be able to associate it with somebody that had certain personality traits or origin story, etc.?
I feel like the process is kind of the opposite, where the book is made and then the readers go in and pick what attributes fit what player.
Okay.
And so one of the books, the player of choice is Wenberg from the Seattle Kraken. And there was an unfortunate big media blowout with it because this woman on TikTok took things a little bit too far.
Oh yeah.
And the Seattle Kraken, who were very much engaged, clapped back, and there was like this big scandal. But they kind of pick players. Vince Dunn is one of them. Barzal is one of them. There's a lot of Mitch Marner character references that people make, little fan edits.
Yeah. If you were going to write one of those books yourself and you had to base it on one of the Edmonton Oilers, which Edmonton Oiler would you base the book off of?
It would have to be between Nugent Hopkins and Dreisaitl.
And what would be kind of like the storyline? What's the outline?
Ooh. I think I would make it... So fake dating is one of my favorite tropes of all time. Basically, two people are dating for the cameras or PR or whatnot, but then actually fall in love.
Yeah.
And so I think I would make it some like, maybe they have this big scandal in the media. They need a fake girlfriend. They hire somebody who maybe works for the Oilers in some kind of capacity. Maybe they do like marketing or something where they don't interact with the athletes a ton.
Yeah.
And then they would just make that the story and boom, they fall in love. Obviously, there are a bunch of ups and downs, all of these women throwing themselves, the jealousy trope. Maybe she has a guy best friend that he's jealous of. There could be endless options.
That's intense. You got it planned out. Have you ever thought about writing a book yourself, or are you in the works of doing any creative writing?
No, that is not my strong suit. I may have all of the ideas, however, I'm not as articulate when it comes to putting it on paper. So I will happily read everybody else's work.
I see.
Yeah.
I find that sometimes people will make ironic statements about their qualities, and then the world kind of shows them the exact opposite a few years later.
Yeah.
One of the key examples is if somebody goes back in my podcast to like 2020 or so, it's there's audio and video of me saying that I would probably never do jiu-jitsu.
What?
And that really? I would probably just cheer on my friends. And I think I even said jiu-jitsu's not for me. And then I've now competed in jiu-jitsu and I like going. And it's part of my life.
How the turns have tabled.
Wow. So keep that in mind for yourself, because sometimes the people who say that they're not qualified for something or that they don't have the skill set are usually the most qualified. Like, within areas where people possess a certain expertise.
Yeah.
It's usually the people who have the least to offer that are the loudest, and the people who have the most to offer that are the most humble.
Man, so that's also very deep.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that applies to literally anything in life.
Yeah. Huh. So make sure to keep that in mind in the years to come.
If I ever write a novel, I'll let you know.
I will like write the intro for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or something.
Author blurb.
Or I'll give it shout outs on the podcast.
Yes, your mom is going to love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not even an insult. My mom will love the book.
Yes. There's always something for someone out there.
Exactly. So, because my hand is getting tired, no, we're good. Basically, I want the audience to have a lesson to walk away with from like the conversation that we've had.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to give them a lesson based on everything that we've talked on in this podcast episode, what would that lesson be?
Learn how to be your authentic self. I feel like my books have taught me that. Trying to manage my own habits has taught me that it's okay to be your own person and to not have everybody be kind of like impressed with you isn't necessarily the right word I'm looking for, but
it's a good word to use.
You don't need everybody around you to like you. You are allowed to have your own ideas and your own opinions, and the people who support you won't have an issue with it. The people who are really there for you, they don't matter.
Yes.
You know, if you're trucking along and you're struggling with your relationships with friends and family, at the end of the day, you're your own person. You have to live your life according to what you want, not how other people think you should.
That is true. And it's a sentiment that I've discovered myself. Like, you can't please everybody.
Yeah.
And lots of people have a different story in their head of who they perceive you to be.
Yeah.
That is not associated with any reality.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is kind of, that's why I like doing these walking podcasts, because then it kind of helps establish me as a real person.
Yeah.
That like legit just talks to people, and hopefully it builds stronger connections among the people that I have these conversations with. Where it's like, oh no, like, he's a real person. There's no hiding behind the Zoom room, no mass editing. I basically clip off the start, clip off the end, and then boom, the podcast is out there.
There you go.
And so with that said, thanks for joining me again on the show.
Thank you for having me. I have thoroughly enjoyed myself and definitely got my heart rate up.
Awesome. Yeah, the stairs paid off. We did our leg day.
We did.
Excellent. So I'm going to press stop. Do-do-do. Da-da-da.